yield ourselves to you and your presence. Father, we are hungry for your power. We are hungry for your love. Father, we are hungry for your just your presence in our life, Lord, the anointing that just covers us and keeps us filled and flowing with the good things that you have for us, Lord. We love you. Thank you for what you've done, Lord. And we thank you for loving on us, Father, even in our current state, Father, wherever we're at, in our mind, in our heart, in our life right now, Lord, we thank you for loving us exactly where we're at, Lord. I thank you that your love is so strong then that it leads us forward into you, that we can step forward into your presence and your glory, that we can shine as bright lights for the name of Jesus, giving you all the praise and the glory. We thank you for it. Open our hearts and minds to receive this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's talk about something. I had two different titles. One is emptying the soul or emptying your soul. And the other would be surrender, okay? Because that's really what we're getting to. We're getting to this point of surrender, okay? But let's talk about, for a minute, before we get that far, let's talk about freedom, okay? Freedom, okay? Freedom to enjoy life to the fullest, okay? Freedom to live a fulfilling life, okay? Freedom to live a life that is satisfying. Okay, to be content with your life and yet know that there's always more. Okay, it's freedom to be who God made you to be. Okay, because God did a work in each one of our life. He who is faithful, who has called you, who also will do it. Okay, he is faithful all the way to the end. So if he's called you into the kingdom and you're in it, okay, then he is faithful to continue pouring out love and blessing and guidance for you throughout your life so that you can get and live this life that he has called you to be exactly who he has made you to be. Okay, it really comes down to basically one thing. Okay, and this is kind of the summary of the whole thing you're going to hear this morning. But it comes down to giving up some of the control and letting the Lord take the lead in your life. Okay, because we don't always get to make the choices. We don't always get to decide, I'm going to do this, and then it happens that exact way. So often the Lord has his plans. Okay, I know that the Lord has plans. I want to follow his plans. The Lord says he knows the plans that I have for you, right? Isn't that what he said? Okay, Jeremiah 29:11. He knows the plans that he has for you. Okay, so if he knows the plans, I want to go with his plan. I want to figure out what that is and step into it and be a part of what he has called us to be. Okay, a big part of that is knowing where we're at right now in our walk with God, that there's still more yet coming. Okay, there are sure good things that God is doing. I want to show you a few Proverbs to start with this morning. And Proverbs chapter 14 is where we'll get our start. And I'll lay a little bit of groundwork. I have just a few points this morning, kind of keeping it a little short, but, well, we'll see. You know how that goes. I can always embellish a little bit. Let's look at Proverbs 14:12. It says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way which seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Amplified Bible puts it this way, the same verse, 14:12. It says, there is a way which seems right to a man, and appears straight before him, but at the end of it is the way of death. In other words, we don't always get it right. Okay, it seems right. How many have ever made a mistake? Anybody? Everybody. Okay, we've made it. Except for Patricia, Trevor says. We've all made some mistakes at some point. We thought we were right. We thought we had stepped into it. We knew the straight path. Okay, we knew where we were going, and we were going head held high. We're just in it. This is the way it is. And then we get to towards the end of that, and we realize, this is a way of death. Wait a minute. I made a mistake. I didn't do it quite right. Okay, that happens on a regular basis, not too frequently. Hopefully, as we mature in Christ, we learn to use discernment. But there are many times, even still, as mature believers, that we may get ourselves onto a path that seemed right in the beginning. But you know what? It's okay to make a mistake. I'd rather do that. Okay, I'd rather take that risk, make the mistake, you know, getting in, I believe I heard God, and going forward, and then finding out I need to alter my course. Something's not right here. I would rather do that than to sit back and never take those chances. Okay, never make that step of faith. Okay, look at another proverb, Proverbs 19, verse 3. It says, "The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." Okay, you know, again, in the Amplified, just to help understand what that means, it says, "The foolishness of man subverteth his way," okay, or "it ruins his affairs. Then his heart is resentful and frets against the Lord." Okay, we talked about this in one of the groups this week about how sometimes we let circumstances or things that go on in our life and we blame God for it. Okay, because we don't want to take the credit for it. So either we made a bad decision or God got us into something. Okay, the other part is we talked about on this week on how the devil is often throwing wrenches into our path as well. Okay, but this is talking about us. What if we don't get it right? What if we're off base? You know, we make a mistake. Okay, that's kind of where it's talking about. And then it says, "The foolishness of man subverts his ways or ruins his affairs," and then he gets resentful towards God about it. Okay, we don't want to get to that point, but I'm pointing out that there is foolishness at times in man's heart, okay, that we don't always get it right. Again, Proverbs 16:9. In the Amplified, it says, "A man's mind plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps and makes them sure." Okay. In other words, God gave us a brain. I just heard the other day, it was a preacher I listened to, and he was talking about how so often we ask God for some pretty small stuff in life. You know, I'm guilty of this. I do. I ask God, what should I wear today? Or God, who should I call today? Or what should I do today? And many of the times God is saying, "I gave you a brain to figure some of that out. You need to call your mama," right? Or you need to call, you know, somebody's been on your heart. You know who to call. So do those kind of things. And so a man's mind plans his way, but it is the Lord then that directs his steps and makes them sure. Okay, in other words, what I'm trying to get across is that God is not going to make you a robot and program you to do everything that he wants you to do. Okay, we wish he would sometimes. I wish God would program me a little more and just kind of make me do what I'm supposed to do. But he doesn't always do that. He has given you the capability and the capacity to do it, but he will not force you to do it. Okay, God will show you the right way. He will lead you down this narrow path that we're on, but we have to be listening. He allows you to have some say in the direction of your life. Thank God. Somebody say, thank God. Okay, because he does allow us to have some direction. We get to make some decisions. Obviously, we know that the devil is real, right? And that he is capable of deceiving people and mankind. So God established in his kingdom and gave us some parameters for morality. Okay, and he declared exactly how we should or shouldn't treat one another. You read that Old Testament, all those laws, all that stuff. It was all written for a reason. This is the way I want it to be. Okay, he outlined it in there. We're all pretty aware, I guess this is where we're going. We'll get to point number one. And we're all pretty well aware of this first point. Okay, number one is there's a problem when mankind is in charge. Okay. When mankind is in control, complete control of something, they will mess it up. Okay, they will not take it down the right road all the time. Okay, the if you think of the very beginning when we get back to Adam and Eve, right? Adam and Eve got themselves into a little trouble pretty soon after we got started as a mankind, right? It didn't take them too long. As far as we know, God set them in a garden, gave them some instructions, and pretty soon they're a mess. They didn't follow those instructions and they got into trouble. We know then that the offspring of Adam and Eve got into more trouble. And just before the great flood, okay, and just before Noah's Ark and all that stuff, here's what God said in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Okay, in other words, there was a flaw in man. Okay, when people leave God out, okay, or when people intentionally avoid or intentionally drive God out of their lives, life is going to get harder and things are not going to go very well. Okay? Backslidden Christians are the most miserable people on the planet Earth. Lost people are happier than backslidden Christians. Because when you slide away, you already know the truth and you fall away from that, you're so miserable. It's a horrible place. When people make a god of themselves, okay, when people seek to serve self, trying to fulfill self by seeking and serving self, okay, they will inevitably be led down the road to ungodliness and evil. Okay, it just leads in that direction. Man to himself is going to get into trouble. It's going to get worse. The good news is that God has given us the solution. Okay, God gave us himself. He gave us the Word of God that we can follow. He made the Word of God then become flesh in the form of Jesus, his only begotten Son. And then he gave us the Holy Spirit to empower us, right, to live out this life, to live out exactly, to hear, to connect with God. Okay, to be able to not only know the right things, but then he empowered us through his Spirit to literally do the right things. Okay, you are not powerless over sin. Contrary to popular belief, you are not powerless over sin. You're not. There is no sin that is greater than God, that is more powerful than he is, so you are not powerless over sin. In Romans chapter 6, it tells us that sin shall not have dominion over you because you're under grace. Okay, Jesus did what needed to be done to make it so that you are not overpowered continually by sin. Okay, grace is there. Jesus did what he needed to do. The problematic area for Christians lies in getting the good that is inside of them, the holy, the pureness of the Holy Spirit, to getting that part from deep within you to flow freely to the surface. Anybody remember the whole spigot thing we did a few weeks ago? We talked about body, soul, and spirit. Your spirit's in the middle of the body on the outside, and your soul is like this spigot. You have to open that up and let the Holy Spirit flow through to get to the outside. Okay, well, number two, our second point is this. Holy, okay, as I call him, holy is at your core. Holy Spirit is inside of you. Okay, you're one-third Holy Ghost. You're one-third God already. You're already partway there. Okay, God didn't just tell you. He gave you like one foot in already. He gave you the Holy Spirit. The right things, okay, the right thoughts, the right actions are all within you. Okay, they are within you to do. Okay, but it has to pass through your soul on the way to the surface. Okay, the goodness of God that is in you has to pass through your mind, will, and emotions in order to manifest on the outside as godly behavior. It's in you. You can do the right things. It is inside of you. But to get that on the outside, you have to let it go through this mind, will, and emotions. Okay, in other words, the Holy Spirit's conviction, okay, that thing that says, don't go that way. Okay, the Holy Spirit's guidance. Okay, the Holy Spirit's prompting, his leading, and his empowering all has to pass through the thoughts of man. Okay, well, when God said earlier that the thoughts of man in his heart are continually evil, it makes you wonder, how does that stuff get through that part of you to get to the outside to manifest as something good? Okay, good news, God provided the way. God instructed us through his word that we are to, quote, cast down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In other words, it's all about Jesus. We zone in and we say, Jesus lived it perfectly. His obedience is by which I am made right. Okay, that's where we get grace through faith. Okay, bring your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Now let me ask you this. Do you think that Jesus knows how to think, say, and do the things that are in line with God's word? Okay, so if we watch him, we have him as our example, we read about his life, we have him inside of us. So if we know that he knows all this stuff and he can do it perfectly, he did it perfectly. He was the only sinless one to ever live that way. Okay? If we know that He has all that stuff and has done that for us and lives that way, and we bring our thoughts captive into the obedience of Christ, we can live the right life. Okay, that means that the possibility and the potential to say and do the right things is not out of our reach. Okay, it is not too hard for us to ever comprehend or to get. In 2 Peter, it says that through God's divine power, He has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Christ. In other words, through knowing Jesus, we have had all things pertaining to life and godliness given to us. Okay, number three, the victory comes when you take control of your own mind. Okay, who's going to take control of your mind if you don't do it? Anybody? You have to do this part. Nobody else can take control of your mind but you. Okay, you choose what thoughts you think. Yes, we have circumstances, we have life around us, we have people speaking into our life or over us or whatever, but ultimately it is my brain that says what to say. It is my brain that decides what I do and don't do. When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment in the kingdom of God is, you remember that? They come up to Him, Lord, teach us, what is the greatest commandment in the kingdom? Okay, here's what His response was in Matthew 22, 37 and 38. Jesus says unto Him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Okay, that is God giving an instruction of something we need to do. Okay, it didn't say, I will make you do this and do that and do this. I will make your mind think. He didn't say it that way. He said, this is the greatest commandment, that you love the Lord thy God with all your mind, all your heart, and all your soul. Okay, we are responsible. God can't do it for you. Okay, it's up to you to push aside some of the other stuff, okay, to take the thoughts captive, in other words, okay, to decide what gets to stay and what has to go. It's up to us to push aside the things that are not of God so that we can love God with all of our mind. Okay, so that there's not things distracting it, that there's not things speaking wrong things into my life or into your life. It's up to you, in other words, to put God first. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul said, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, if you read that whole chapter in that section, you'll see that what he was talking about, this mind that was in Christ, when he's saying, Let this mind be in you, was a mind of humility. It was a mind of a Savior that was willing to come down to the earth. It was the mind of God Himself that humbled Himself to become like a man. Okay, so let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, it is a humbling of yourself under the hand of God. Okay, this God does not want you to be like a mindless zombie. Okay, He doesn't want you going through life with no personality, no hopes, no dreams, okay, no desires of your own. Okay, I know that because if you read what the psalmist wrote, he tells us that when you delight in the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. Okay, Luke is the one that said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Okay, the kingdom that he's talking about, His pleasure is to give you the kingdom, is the kingdom that involves truth, and righteousness, love, grace. Okay, that is the kingdom that He is more than willing to give us, all of those things. Okay, it is His pure, holy, and right, and true kingdom that He is willing to give us. When your thoughts and your attitudes and your actions line up with God's, it is a phenomenal place of blessing and favor. You know what that's called when you line up everything with God's? Well, it's happiness. You get to happiness. You know what gets you to happiness? Obedience. That same section where it was talking about let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, it was talking about his obedience to go to the cross. Something none of us would want to do. Something I don't even think Jesus wanted to do, but he did. He was obedient to the cross. Jesus probably did want to do it, knowing his heart. Okay. The humility that is essential for us to get there comes from our admittance that we are entirely dependent on God, that we have to have him. He has determined the absolute perfect, most fulfilling, most satisfying and successful life that you can have, and he can and will help you to accomplish that if you will let him. Okay, because remember what it's got to go through? It's got to go through you. You get to decide if you're going to let God deeper. You get to decide if you're going to let God take you into an uncomfortable place where on the other side is the blessing. Okay, you get to decide that and say yes or no. Okay, number four. The key is in renewing your mind and making it line up with God's. Okay, making it line up with God's. I say it making rather than saying the key is to, you know, let God influence you or to be encouraged to line up with God. You have to make your mind line up with the Word of God. Now you have to tell yourself, I am going to adhere to what it says in God's Word. I am not going to live my life my own way. I want to live my life God's way. Start with that, right? I want to live God's way. And then start telling yourself, I will live God's way. Okay, at this point, your life will not be boring. Okay, that's some people think, man, if I just live according to the Bible, my life's just going to be boring. Just blah, blah, blah. Life will not be boring when you line it up with God's will and his way. Life will not be unsatisfying when you line it up with God's will and his way. In fact, it's just the opposite. The most content that you will ever be in your life is when you are fully yielded to God and his Holy Spirit within you. It is so satisfying to know that I just followed the prompting of the Holy Spirit and it turned out great. Okay, there's a good feeling in that. It's not about feeling, but it happens. You're going to find the greatest pleasure when you find yourself right smack in the middle of God's will and plan for your life. Okay, when you're accomplishing what God wants you to do, there is satisfaction in that. Again, I come back to what gets in the way of us getting to that fulfilling life, okay, and having that more than anything else, and it's right here between your ears. It is our own mind, okay, that we either talk ourselves into it or we talk ourselves out of it. It is your mind that talks you out of enjoying your life in Christ. Okay, it is your mind that tells you that this is not as fun as it could be. Boy, I wish I could still do that stuff, or I want to do this stuff and keep doing this stuff rather than giving it up knowing that God wants me to give it up. Okay, it is your own mind that determines those kind of things. Your thoughts are what convinces you that sin is going to satisfy more than not sinning. I'll tell you what, I have found great satisfaction in not sinning. Okay, get some victory over the devil in an area of your life. There's satisfaction in it. It's like kicking the devil in the teeth, and it's like he's this ugly monster, and you get to step on his head. Okay, it's good stuff. It's being the good guy that defeats the bad guy. It's a place of satisfaction and fulfillment when you get some victory. Okay, it's your thoughts that convince you that sin is going to satisfy more than not sinning, and it's also your thoughts that convince you that sinning is the best way. Okay, you get to decide. It is your selfish will, okay, your emotions are what persuades you to think that your way is better than God's way. But it's also your thoughts and emotions that will persuade you that God's way is best. You have to decide that, make that determination that I want to do what God wants me to do. Think of some of our biblical examples. Obviously, Jesus is our greatest example. Wouldn't you like to be able to speak with your last breath on earth and say, it is finished, like Jesus said? Okay, he was 100% committed to the Father. And at the end of his life, he could say, it is finished. In other words, he had no regrets. I want to get to the end of my life and not have regrets. I don't want to get to the end and say, I wish I would have. I wish I wouldn't have. Okay, I want to get to the end and say I have no regrets. I live life to the fullest because I live life according to the will and way of God. Jesus had accomplished what God wanted him to do, and his life was the absolute best that it could be. Think about the Apostle Paul. Okay, in 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 7, Paul says this. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He wasn't talking about going to the next town. Okay, he's talking about leaving this earth. He said, "The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." You ever had a course you didn't finish? I have a few. I like growth, spiritual growth things. So I get into different conferences or, you know, these trainings and teachings and different things. Some of them I've never finished. Okay, 20 years, 30 years, I haven't finished it. But the ones that I have finished, I can look back on and say, I finished that course. I went all the way through beginning to end. I want to get to the end of my life, like Paul, and say, I finished my course. I fought a good fight. Okay, I didn't go in and just lay down. I had a friend one time, I know I told this story. I won't mention his name, but we were in wrestling, right? And we're wrestling, we went to a tournament, and my friend was not, he was in it for the fun. I mean, we were friends, and you know, it was that kind of a, he wasn't in it because he was a state champion wrestler. He was in it because he wanted to hang out with other guys and be cool and whatever. So he was with us, we went to a big tournament. The kid that he ended up getting matched up with, I'll never forget, his opponent was a state champion, and he was tough, and he was ripped and looked like a, you know, He-Man guy, and he was going to go out on the mat with this guy. So my friend determined he was going to go for the record of the fastest pin. Not that he would pin the state champion, but that he would go out and get pinned in the least amount of time possible. 6 seconds is how long he lasted with this guy. He went out on the mat, they stood face to face, and he kind of gets out here like this, and they tweet that whistle, and he just goes up and just throws himself at the guy, and the guy just slams him down and pins him. It took 6 seconds. He set the record for our school. He gets up off the mat, cheering for himself, because he set a record for the fastest pin against himself. Okay? We don't want to go through a fight like that. Okay, don't go into the battle with your Christian walk and say, I'm just going to go in and say, I'll pass fast so I can get knocked out of this. You know, sometimes we do that. We set ourselves up for failure because it's easier to fail. That kid did not want to go in and have to wrestle. He was decent. He could have held his own and maybe made it through half a period at least, or maybe the whole match, who knows. But he chose to give in, to quit before he even got on the mat. Okay, Paul said he had fought a good fight. Okay, when I get to the end, I want to be able to say, I fought my hardest. I did my very best. Okay, I gave it all to God. I laid it down, and God took it from there. Okay, the Apostle Paul is the same guy that tells us to run the race that is set before us with the goal to obtain the prize. You know, run as to obtain, he says. Okay, he's the same guy that encouraged us to live intentionally. Okay, to not beat the air like a boxer that just swings wildly, not connecting any punches. He said, live intentionally. Live with purpose, in other words. Live so that you may get to the end and say, I fought a good fight. I didn't just flail my arms. Okay, there is great contentment in yielding to the Holy Spirit in every possible way. Defining every moment and seeking that opportunity. How can I hear? What are you saying? What can I do now? And listening and yielding to those promptings of the Holy Spirit. Okay, there is one key action that leads to the best life that you can have. And it's number 5. It's called, well, it's not number 5, but I'll tell you that word first. It's called surrender. Okay, I'm going to come to the definition of that in a minute. But number 5, give up your will and your way and submit them to God. This is when you say, my life is yours. This is a daily submitting to your King. Isaiah chapter 55 says that God's ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Empty out your soul and let God fill it up with His will and His ways. Okay, if your thoughts. You know, you think about how to renew your mind. The Word of God is how we renew it. It's how I start to think like God thinks. It's how I start to see things through God's eyes. It's how I know that love is important to God, right? God is love. I see that in the Scripture. So it's my mind that starts to connect with what I read. Okay, and it begins to stir this inside of my mind. So now when I go through life, I can act according to what God sees, how God sees it. What is God, His perspective on the whole thing? It's kind of like Jesus crying out in the Garden of Gethsemane when He says, "Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine." Okay? Jesus, even if you think about that scene in Gethsemane, He had a thought that was coming into His mind that said, "I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to die a torturous death with common criminals on a cross." And He says, "God, if there be any other way, let's do that. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Okay, that's the humility that God is seeking from us. Well, we have life we want to go through. We have things and endeavors. We have a life that we kind of want to lean into and go this particular direction. Maybe it's even a kind of a dream that we have. Some of that is God planted, and I won't give that up. I'm if it's God, I'll know it's God. But there are many things in life where I thought I had some things figured out. I thought I knew what I wanted to do. I was going to go this direction in life. And I found out the foolishness of man's heart leads to destruction. Okay, it led to calamity. It led to some things not happening the best way. You know, one example I can think of is in a secular job I had as a pastor. I took on secular jobs, and many of you know I worked for UPS. I started out as a loader, right? A preloader, they call it, loading the trucks real early in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, and you go in and load the trucks and get them ready to send out. I worked hard, didn't take very long, and they're like, "Hey, we'd like you to step up to being a driver. Maybe be an air driver." You know, that's in-town stuff. And I thought, okay, yeah, I can be an air driver, no problem. So I went through the training and did all that, got to be an air driver. My wage went up, felt pretty good. Then they come and say, "Well, we want you to be a full-time driver." Think of the benefits. Everybody else jumped at the chance to be a full-time driver. Those guys make way too much money for what they do, I'll just be honest. It's a hard job, too. I wouldn't want to do it this year. But I did. I eventually, the boss came back. He kind of kept bugging me, and I said, "Okay, I'll go full-time." I had to go through a little more training, jumped up to a full-time driver, started driving, taking routes. And it wasn't much longer after that, and they're like, "You know what? You've got a degree. You've got some management experience. How would you like to be a manager of two centers? Your salary will go from this to this overnight. You don't have to do the long haul and go through all the years and years of being a driver to get there. We'll bump you up right now." And I took that. And I don't know how long I did it, year and a half, 2 years maybe. And I realized that I was in over my head. I could do the job, but my family was suffering. Okay, my walk with God was suffering. I think my church was suffering. Okay, that was my own desire, my own thing, and I got into that, and I could still be there. I could be making six figures, and you know, they tried several times to get me to move to places across the country, and they were willing to take no for an answer, at least for the time. I said, "No, I'm a pastor. I've got a church. I can't move." You know, I could have moved my family all over the country and been making, you know, some of those guys are up $250,000, $300,000 a year by the time they get into that upper management stuff, maybe more. But I had to turn that down. I turned away from that when I got to the point that I realized this is not healthy for my relationship with God. God's got to be number one. Okay, and then my family is close second. My church comes after that. And then my job comes fourth. I was letting that job kind of start taking up more and more of my time. You try to run two centers, you're on the road all the time. And in that position, you're at the will of the company. They say, "Go. You're going to Portland this week. Pack your bags. You're going to wherever." They sent me to a little town in North Dakota. Spent most of the week before Christmas up there. And you're just at their will. You know, there are times where we just have to be able to say no to the world and say, "God, what do you want me to do?" Okay, and then I tried some other stuff, right? I tried real estate, I tried this, I tried that, and the whole time God was saying one thing to me, and I knew what it was. He wanted me to faith it out. He wanted me to faith it out. Go into ministry, faith it out. And we did. It was hard. Went through some poor times. Okay, it was pretty tough for a while, but God has gotten us through it. We're doing all right. James chapter 4 says to submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We don't want to get that backwards, where we start resisting God and submitting to the devil. Okay, because the devil will try to take you down the wrong road. Okay, we need to quit saying no to God and start saying yes to God. Okay, we start by surrendering to Jesus, surrendering everything to him. Okay, you wake up every day and you see yourself in total and complete submission to God. Okay, you wake up and you say, God, my life is entirely yours today. Okay, every area, every moment, every possible way, my life is yours today. Okay, you take note of your thoughts that you think throughout the day. Are you thinking things that line up with God and the way he sees you, the way he sees the world, or are you looking at it from the worldly perspective? That success, that management stuff, that was pretty successful. Many of those guys saw themselves as pretty elite. Believe me, they saw themselves as elite. Okay, and you can get into that. That's the way of the world thinking. That's not the way of God thinking. The Lexham Cultural Ontology Glossary defines surrender as this. It says, surrender is the actions of a nation in giving up its fight against another nation. Okay, surrender, right? I surrender, I give up. Surrender to the kingdom of darkness, to the kingdom of God. Okay, lay all the darkness, all your life, anything that has come up to this point, and lay it into the hands of God. You give up the fight, in other words, to God. You say, God, you have my life. You yield every area of your life to him. You give him your relationships. You give him your job. You give him your health. You give him your finances. You give him your family. You give him everything. Just like we did baby dedication. That baby belongs to God. God, we give you Mila. They still have to feed and care and take care of. They do their part. But ultimately, she belongs to God. You give him your fears. You give him your dreams, your hopes. You turn it all over to him in complete surrender. Okay, you throw your hands up and you say, here I am, Lord, I give, I give. I'm done, I give, I surrender, I give it to you. Take my life, use it for your glory. Okay, I'm not going to hold anything back. This morning I want to close with just the lyrics to a song. It's a song by a guy named William McDowell. And many of you have heard the song before. There's many renditions of it called I Surrender All. Okay, I surrender all. You know, I can't sing it, but you guys know the song. Okay, well, William sings it and they sing it. I surrender all to you I give, I surrender all. And they sing it over and over and over again, and he's got these beautiful backup singers that sing it. Okay, and as they are singing this backup, they just keep singing, I surrender all, I surrender all. And he starts talking over it. It's a prophetic speaking where he's speaking over the people that are there. And I just want to read this to you because when I heard it, it touched my heart. They sing, I surrender all to you I give. He says, some of us are bowed down. Some of us with our hands lifted. We present ourselves to you. Our lives completely and totally, we surrender to you. And our answer, the word of agreement between heaven and earth is yes. Whatever you want to do, Lord, we say yes to you. We say yes. We surrender. I say yes. I surrender. Our answer is yes. Our heart cries yes. Oh Lord, we surrender. We surrender all. Even before we know the question, we surrender. We say yes. We give you our everything. We say yes to you, Lord. Make it personal. I say yes. Some of you don't even know what you're saying yes to, but you have to say it. Some of you have been running from God, but this is the moment. We're not running from him. We're running to him. We're not running from the call anymore. We're not content to sit on the sidelines anymore. You know God has spoken to you. He has given you a dream. He has given you a purpose. You must say yes. Come on, this has to be a cry from your heart. I am not running anymore. I say yes. I surrender. With all or nothing, I give you my all in all. I surrender all. Amen. Father God, may that be our cry this morning. May that be deep from our heart, Lord, that we do say yes to you. We say yes to what you want to do, whatever direction, whatever leading, whatever guiding, whatever place that you call us to, Lord, we say yes. We step into it, Lord. We desire you and your will and your way in our life, Lord. We lay down our life, we take up that cross, and we say, let's go. I am yours. I am completely and totally yielded to you. Father, we praise you this morning. Just lead your people. Lead us into a place of a deeper awareness of your lead in our life, Lord. May we lay it down and walk with you. May we say your way is best. May we convince ourselves of the things of righteousness, the things that are true and right, the things that are honest and pure and of good report. May we think on these things. Father, may our hearts just cry out to you saying, God, my life is yours. I give to you. I give up. I surrender to you. Father, we praise you this morning. Have your will and your way in our life, Lord. Lead us from here and let us never be the same. Let us go out a little different, Lord. Let us go out a little more humble, Lord, before you. We resist the devil, not you, Lord. We say yes to you. We praise you. We thank you for it. We pray you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. I say yes.